Voice of a Serial Killer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Secrets of a Serial Killer. I'm your host, Nick, and tonight I'm going to be talking about the Southside Strangler, a.k.a. John Floyd Thomas Jr. So John was born July 26, 1926. That's actually the same day my sister was born, in L.A. His mother died when he was 12, but we're not sure what happened to his dad. He stayed with his aunt and also a godmother, bouncing in between the two of them. He went to Manual Arts Senior High School. Not sure how his high school life was like, but World War II broke out and a lot of blacks actually moved to that area and the whites were pissed. They were segregated at the time, so John may have been a victim of verbal abuse, but we're not sure. So in 1956, when he was just 20 years old, he joined the Air Force and he was stationed in Nevada. A superior said that he was late and also very messy. A year later, he got dishonorably discharged, but we're not sure what he did. I mean, that's a big deal if you get dishonorably discharged. That's not a fucking joke, like you had to do something bad. So he went back to L.A. He eventually got married to an unnamed woman. He was a county foul clerk. So in June of 1959, he broke into an elderly woman's home, and he got in her bed and climbed on top of her. He probably raped her, but we're not sure. I'm thinking that he did. It woke up the son-in-law, and he came into the room with the gun, and John ran for the door, and the dude fired at him. It hit John, but he lived, and he made his way back to his apartment with a wound, and he probably came up with an excuse to his wife on how he got shot. Well, he got out of the hospital, and his injuries grabbed the attention of the doctors. The police were soon brought in. The cops must have known about the shooting. They put two and two together and arrested John for attempted rape. They were trying to solve another attempted rape case, and they thought maybe John had something to do with it. They tried to link him to two others, but it didn't work. He was convicted of burglary, but not attempted rape. He had a short sentence of 6 years. Not sure how jail was for him, but sometime in the 60s, he was let free. He got two parole violations and went back to prison until 1966. His wife divorced him. So in 1972, around Thanksgiving, he broke into a house of Ethel Stockumla. I'm not sure how to say that. We're just going to call her Ethel. Not sure why he chose her, but she lived alone. He beat her, sexually assaulted her, and choked her until she was no longer breathing. This was his first official kill. So in 1974, several other elderly ladies from the age of 50 to their 90s were beaten, raped, and they were all in a 20-mile radius. They were all single, living alone, with either a pillow, blanket, or clothing covering their face. The locals were scared. The police made a task force, calling him the West Side Rapist. Can't say if they were all John's victims, but they were similar to his first victim. So September 20th, 1975, John went out to the west side of L.A. that night and he spotted 79-year-old Cora Perry. She was single but looked very young for her age. She was very active in the community as well. Well, later that night, he removed a window screen and climbed into her home. He beat, raped, and strangled her to death, then fled. She didn't collect her morning paper the next day, and the neighbors can't remember a time when her paper was out past 9 a.m. So at 10 a.m., they knocked on the door. No answer. They used their master key, and they pushed open the door. Mr. Lockyer found her on her bed, and she was lying on the bed, you know, with clothes covering her, along with pillows, and all you could see was her feet sticking out. Removing the clothes off her face, a shower cap was covering it. He called the police, and they looked at her body for about an hour. They included that this was the work of the West Side Rapist. By 1975, police said that the West Side Rapist molested and assaulted 33 elderly women, possibly killing 10. So February 18th, 1976, 67-year-old Elizabeth McQuinn, I don't know how to say it, we're just going to call her Elizabeth. I don't know how to say these last names, was ambushed by John, just out of her apartment building, pulled her inside and dragged her across the floor. He beat, sexually assaulted, and just pretty much beat her to death. He put her body in the trunk and drove off. He eventually abandoned the car with her still in it, Police found her car not too far away. Larry Manchester was one of the LAPD officers. He recently just read an article about human DNA as a new technology to identify it. At that time, they were using fingerprint scanners, which you've had to have a good print, and also blood type as well. Any autopsy they use evidence, they had run it through the sex offender database. John didn't come up because he took the plea deal, so he wasn't ever charged as a sex offender. Yeah, crazy. So April of 1976, he went to Inglewood for another victim. He chose Mabel Hudson. He waited for her to pull into her driveway, then he attacked. He beat, raped, and strangled her. 2 months later, in the same area, he did it to another woman, 65-year-old Miriam McKinley. Just like his other victims, he covered her face when he was finished. The face covering allowed police to know that all the victims were connected. Not really sure why he covered their face. He took a break during the rest of the summer. Well, in October, he killed 56-year-old Evelyn Bonner. Boner. No. Bunner? I think it's Bunner. I said Boner. Oh, God. In 1977, not much about his whereabouts were going on at that time. He found work as a hospital employee. Police had their hands full with two other serial killers, the Freeway Killer and the High Side Strangler. Also, the Golden State Killer, who terrified the whole state. That makes three, not two. Damn, that's a lot of serial killers. Due to the other killers and the lack of leads, the task force was dismissed. So February of 1978, his next victim was 77 Miss Steelers? No, I don't know how to fucking say her name. He put gloves on, broke into her house, and waited for her. So at 10:15, she entered her home and he attacked her. He beat and raped her, and he broke her ankle as well. He strangled her, but she survived. Getting up, she called her son Gary and begged for help, and he raced over there, finding her on the floor in a state of shock. He called 911 trying to figure out what happened. All she could say was, he had very strong hands. A neighbor reported that she saw a man pacing around the apartment complex. They saw him get into a blue Ford Mustang, and they wrote down his license plate number, and police tracked it right to John. His residence was close to hers. They arrested him for her rape. No charges for the others. Not sure if they didn't think to connect the dots, you know, him with the other killings, but that task force wasn't a thing anymore. So August 17th, 1978, he was convicted for rape, burglary, and mayhem. See, in California, the term mayhem is crimes that are extremely brutal, where all the victims is maimed. Due to her broken ankle and not, you know, able to walk the way that she used to, it's probably where the mayhem charge came from. This is the first time that he was arrested for rape. As he sat in prison, the West Side rapes stopped. So in 1983, 5 years later, he was released from prison. So May 17th, 1983, San Bernardino County placed John on the sex offenders list. They didn't take his DNA, though. But now that he's in the database, law enforcement can track him easier. He moved to Chino, California once he got out, 35 miles east of Los Angeles. He got a job as a peer counselor in the hospital. Ain't that something? So in August of 1983, police found the body of Isabel Askew. Oh my God, we had a gym teacher named Mr. Askew, and people would always go, "Hey, Mr. Askew, can I ask you a question?" He would always get so pissed off. The heat made it hard for the cause of death, but they could determine that she had been raped. We don't know if it was John or not. Police went back to L.A. to try to solve the Southside Slayer. That killer was to... they're thinking that killer was responsible for 18 sex workers. He also raped them. So same MO as John, but just different victims. So March of 1986, 83-year-old that was living in the same apartment complex was raped and robbed. We don't know that individual's name. A few months later, a 78-year-old lady was attacked near the complex. Don't know who that is either. So in June of 1985, John returned to the scene of both crimes. In August, he stalked one of his victims, who was a mentally disabled daughter. This mentally disabled girl was actually a daughter to one of his victims. So he snuck into her apartment, raped and strangled her as well. So in 1989, police investigated 5 elderly women that were murdered in Claremont. John was still working his job and continued dating. Well, in March of 1987, his 51st birthday, his life changed. His girlfriend gave birth to a baby boy, and he married the girl and even took a job in the mailroom. Co-workers said that he was pleasant, personable, and religious. He would email his co-workers biblical verses and inspirational quotes. An ex-co-worker by the name of Earl Hutchardson said, "The biblical passage was tied in with something for the day. Stay positive, or if you're having a challenging day, read a passage from Cornelius. There's some things that prohibited or changed a serial killer from killing anymore." So what they mean is, like, a lot of serial killers can stop killing is what the FBI is trying to say. So pretty much John had taken a break from killing. We don't know if it's because of his job and, you know, him being a father now, he decided to just give up killing. Because even with Dennis Rader, he gave up killing for about 8 years before he went back at it. So I think John just pretty much gave up on it due to him being married, you know, working and having a kid. So who knows? So in 2001, LA got access to a DNA databases. They created the Cold Case Homicide Unit. So in 2002, Detective Richard Bankston, he was assigned to the unsolved cases in 1976. Well, he was digging around in the storage unit, well, the storage room in the LA County Coroner's. Well, he found a file cabinet, and inside was a gold mine, semen, blood, and saliva. That was from 1972 to 1978. So in June 2002, he was submitting 2 samples from 2 of John's victims. He waited. He was notified October of that year. Another year went by. September 2004, the system finally found out it was the same man. So November 2004, they passed a law where criminals had to come in and do a DNA swab in California. Remember when I said police were focused on the Southside Slayer? Well, the first decades of the 2000s, the Slayer had woken up, and there was a string of serial murders, and police were now calling him the Grim Sleeper. Oh, shit. So you're telling me, wait a minute. So you're telling me that the Southside Slayer is the Grim Sleeper. Oh, shit. Okay, let's continue. So the fall of 2008, they went through the sex offender database, and 1,500 individuals fit the description. But they found out that 92 of them never had a DNA swabbed. They called in all 92 individuals, hoping that one of them would be the Grim Sleeper. But instead, they got John Floyd Thomas Jr. So on October 2nd, 2008, Thomas, you know, he was called in. He thought it was an ordinary checkup due to the mistakes made a long time ago. He was cordial and polite, no drama at all. Well, 5 months later, on March 27th, 2009, police were alerted that the labs had found a match. It wasn't for the Grim Sleeper, but it was for the West Side Rapist, John Floyd Thomas Jr. His new address happened to place him in South LA, only a few blocks from his old attacks. So on March 28, 2009, undercover cops put 72-year-old John under surveillance, and a few days later, the police made their move. They went into his house and arrested him. He went into the station without a fight. He was calm as he was waiting to be interrogated. He shook the detective's hands with a firm grip. They interrogated him for 4 hours, not sure what the details were. So on April 2nd, 2009, he was charged with the 1972 murder of Ethel and the 1976 murder of Elizabeth. So on September 23rd, 2009, he was also charged with the 1975 murder of Cora Perry. Then he got charged for every single one of his murders after that, bringing the total to 7. He was dubbed the South Lynn. What was he called again? The South Side Strangler. So yeah, that is a little bit confusing. The South Side Slayer and the South Side Strangler. That is like hella freaking confusing if you ask me. I don't know why they did that. That was weird. So, they believe he might have killed 30 women and raped many more, but they were unable to prove it. So on April 1st, 2011, he pled guilty to all 7 counts of murder. At 74, he was sentenced to 7 life sentences, one without the opportunity of parole. There was no statements or reasons coming from John on why he did it. He is now 86 years old, locked up in Stockton, California facility. And so that's the end of the story of John. So first off, there's not really much information about John in the first place, his childhood or anything like that at all. So that's a little strange. Next up, what was his motive of killing elderly ladies in the first place? Like, why was he killing old ladies? That is something I didn't understand. He was breaking into their home, beating them, molesting them, and murdering them. I don't know if the covering the face was just like what happened after he was done, like if the blanket fell over the face, or was he using the pillow to suffocate, but what about the shower cap? I don't know, did old ladies go to bed with shower caps on their heads? I don't understand that. I don't know if, like, they, you know, he was using the pillows or the blankets or something to suffocate them or strangle them with, or was it something that was a ritual to him? You know what I'm saying? Like, some serial killers have, like, a ritual. Like, let's just say I was a serial killer, and, like, every body, the eyeballs are missing. So, all my victims, you can tell they're my victims because they have no eyeballs. You understand that? I heard about the Golden State Killer, but I don't know who that is. Alexa, who is the Golden State serial killer?
I don't have an answer for that.
I guess they never found him. I don't think so. The Golden State serial killer. Alexa, who is the Freeway serial killer?
The Freeway Phantom is a self-imposed nickname for an unidentified serial killer who was active in Washington, D.C., from April 1971 through September 1972. On the evening of April 25th, 1971, 13-year-old Sphinx from Southeast was sent by an older sister to buy groceries at a 7-Eleven located a half mile away from her home, just across the border in Maryland.
So, it's an unidentified serial killer. Well, the Golden State serial killer is Joseph James DeAngelo. Yeah, is he still alive? Yeah, he's 77 years old. It doesn't say he was dead, so, yeah. Wow, that's a little strange. 13 murders, 51 rapes, and 120 burglary and home invasions are the same thing, but the difference is home invasion is you break in someone's home while they're home. Burglary is when you break in someone's home when they're not there. So, the Freeway serial killer is still unidentified. The Golden State serial killer is Joseph James DeAngelo. The Southside Strangler is obviously John Floyd Thomas Jr. And the Southside Slayer, a.k.a. the Grim Sleeper, I think is Lonnie Franklin Jr. Yeah, my mom actually pulled him up like I think it was 2 years ago. There was like a film and she was like, oh, this guy's called the Grim Sleeper. And she was going into detail like he lived in the hood and he just like blend in perfectly with society, like society. They were saying that he was like living in poverty and so he was able to get away with a lot of kills. I think that's who it is, Lonnie Franklin Jr. Alexa, who is the Grim Sleeper?
According to an Alexa Answers contributor, you mean the Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper is an imaginary
Alexa,
character who
Who is the Grim Sleeper serial killer?
Here is an answer from an Alexa Answers contributor that I translated. Luis Garavito was the greatest serial killer with the highest number of
victims. Oh my god, she's an idiot. Alexa, who is Lonnie Franklin Jr.?
According to another Amazon
stupid
customer,
ass.
He is an American gospel singer.
I'm gonna throw you off the fucking cliff, you stupid bitch. That is not what I fucking asked. The Grim Sleeper. You mean the Grim Reaper? No, the Grim Sleeper, bitch. Am I right? Lonnie David Franklin Jr. Told you. Bitch. Wow, so he was born August 30th, 1952, and he died March 28th, 2020. Wow. That's so crazy, man. That is so crazy. That blows my mind. And so, yeah, I got my sources from the Serial Killer podcast, and also, you know, ain't really much detail about this dude in general, but damn, some of this knowledge I actually came, you know, to myself, like the Grim Sleeper. I didn't know that he was called something else before that. But yeah, he's a very popular serial killer. Like, especially for a black man. That's wild. You know, I'd love to, like, know more about the serial killer that's an hour away from me. I don't know why. Like, I know he's only responsible, they think he's responsible for more than just 5 women. But I'd be like, Anthony, tell me everything. Spill the beans. I don't care. Get on this podcast. Tell me everything. But yeah, that's going to be all for this episode, all of you listening. I'm going to do 30 episodes for a season. So right now I am on, let's see, episode. We just got done with Carol Cole, episode 20. So we got about 9 more left after this. And then I'm going to be done with the season, and I'm going to take a break. And during that break, I'm going to, you know, rack up a lot of episodes. I'm going to do a lot of research, and then I'm going to record, and so I could be ahead of everything. Ahead of everything. That would be so freaking nice. At least be halfway through so I don't, like, stress myself out. I love all of y'all, and I will catch y'all next Sunday. Peace. Stay safe.